In this episode of the Smart City podcast, I interviewed David Klingberg, who is the director and principal at Smart Planning and Design. David and I had a great chat about thinking holistically about delivering solutions and using technology to enable this delivery. We also discussed the Smart City funding that is currently on offer and more that needs to be done in this space to maximise the potential of the Smart City concept and expanding to our regions. I really enjoyed this strategic Smart City conversation. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, David. How are you today?
I'm extremely well, thanks, Zoe. Thanks for the opportunity to have this chat.
Thanks so much for making some time to come on to the Smart City podcast.
It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, let's just jump straight into it. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about?
Okay, my background is land surveying, town planning, and urban design. And I've run a couple of businesses now. I've worked for state and local government, and I've worked around the world with this stuff. I'm passionate about creating great cities, and through my design and town planning expertise and through the companies I've been involved in, making that happen.
Yeah, cool. Well, what kind of sparked your interest in this smart city space?
A couple of things. One was, I suppose the catalyst was working with a company called Integrated Transport Planning, and they're a company that were doing work with my old company around the globe. They were doing a lot more work than we were. In particular, they were working on a project in the Philippines. And I saw the power of the smartphone to gather data to enable them to plan and design, unfortunately not implement, but plan and design a bus rapid transport system in Manila. And it was through the use of smartphones that they were able to gather the information required to understand how people moved around the city. Most of the people get around, well, people using what we would think of as public transport or the jeepney system there were, or still are, suffering to a certain extent in terms of the quality of that public transport. And these guys were brought in, I think, by the World Bank to implement or design and implement a BRT system or bus rapid transit system. And they hired a company that enabled them to understand how people moved around by using their smartphones. So I thought that was pretty powerful stuff to do the work to. What would have taken a couple of years of research and the like, I think took probably 6 months or something.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's talk about, you said you're not particularly focused down on the technology space, but let's talk about some of the technologies or the concepts, the smart city concepts that you've come across. I guess you've already covered that a little bit, but is there anything else that you're really passionate about exploring?
Well, I come at it from the perspective of creating great places. So, and I also come at it from my background in strategic planning and I suppose structure planning and the frameworks that we use in that discipline, I thought could be used in a similar vein in the smart city space. So as a town planning and urban design practitioner, I looked around for a framework that would allow me to bring together what I call the digital and the analog. So what is it in the digital space that we can use to deliver fantastic physical and other outcomes for our cities, because that's what it's all about, you know, creating great places for people to live. And in that respect, the best framework I could find and we used in the Newcastle Smart City Strategy was one that looked at six elements. Those six elements being smart economy, smart people, smart governance, smart mobility, smart environment, and smart living. So it's, I suppose, a more holistic answer, but all of those elements, all of those parts of the city, there are technologies that are starting to give us opportunities to improve people's lives in all of those spaces.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about some of the projects and things that you're currently working on.
At the moment, we're looking to help out with, and we're reaching out to local governments in Australia because of the latest funding that's occurring, the $50 million round two federal government funding. And so we're looking to help and have been in contact with a number of local governments around Australia to help them write their bid submissions for that funding. Now, that funding's, I think it's $50 million. There's opportunities for local governments to identify projects that they want to fund and see implemented. And the thing that we're going to be helping out with is helping them define the strategic plan, which can be aligned with their projects. Under smart economy, you could be looking for growing innovation hubs. Under smart people, you could be looking to identify new practices in education in your city or region. Under smart governance, you could be looking to promote e-government. Smart mobility is one which is we're already very active in, but looking to design new transport infrastructure and systems. Smart environment, we're looking to help people with opportunities for monitoring waste, and waste both in terms of literal waste and or waste in terms of water and other more scarce resources. And under smart living, creating great places for people to be in. So all of those things we're helping local government to write their bids for, and hopefully we're successful.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk a little bit about some of those key elements, like smart mobility, for example. Your company, what kind of angle do you come at when it comes to smart mobility?
Well, that's a great question. To be perfectly honest, it depends on the place we're working in. So I've been involved in this space the last 4 to 5 years. Like I said, I got involved through seeing smart mobility be used to help what we were hoping to be help millions of people creating a new transport infrastructure system in Manila. Things simply like giving people real-time information or improving real-time information around mobility, things like creating active travel, deploying and leveraging technology and platforms to enhance the delivery of cycleways and walkable infrastructure, letting people know about the walkable infrastructure, developing and delivering strategies to enable the adoption and integration of future modes of transport and mobility, and just simply information and communications, which makes things connect better and gives us more efficiencies in the way people move around our cities.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're the key concepts, and, you know, then using technology to enable those fundamental kind of people-related mobility issues, I suppose.
Yeah, I think particularly with all of this, but in particular mobility, how people move around the city, increasing numbers of people. All of our cities, Melbourne and Sydney are both doubling their populations in the next 35 years. So, we're going to have to become smarter about that. And I really believe that technology is part of the answer. We needn't be scared of it. We need to embrace it. And I think people have been. So, it's a great thing. And I think also across the various platforms that we're now going to be and bits of infrastructure we are going to be implementing in our cities. Smart mobility is one that people can really recognise and I think is a good case to promote other innovations in our cities as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it really is the kind of backbone when it comes to smart cities, and it's of particular interest to me as well. Let's talk about Melbourne, and because that's where you are at the moment, and let's talk about how Melbourne is kind of embracing the smart city space.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's an interesting question because a lot of people think of Melbourne as the city of Melbourne, the inner city, but of course it's a much bigger metropolis than that. I think the city of Melbourne's doing great things in coming up with their own strategies and implementing those strategies. And as a place that's livable, well known to be livable already, the city centre in particular, there are lots of different platforms and I suppose strategies across all of those six elements I talked about that are being implemented and enhancing people's lives. People like Bonnie Shore are working very hard to make Melbourne remain one of the world's most livable cities through her and her office's work in implementing smart cities solutions in the city centre or the city of Melbourne. Beyond that, though, as Melbourne's a much bigger metropolis than just the city centre, where we do need other local governments are funding programs. Wyndham has written its own smart city strategy. Other councils are following suit, but it is a bit of a mismatch at the moment. And I do think that we probably do have to have a more integrated approach. That conference we were at recently, you and I, the Smart Communities Conference, highlighted that to me, that we need to be thinking more holistically across a broader metropolitan area.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah, cool. So do you think that there's some really good places in Melbourne and the surrounds to kind of pilot this smart technology?
Oh, absolutely. Off the back of sort of very leading strategic planning initiatives like Melbourne 2030 and, you know, the subsequent strategies that followed that, we identified here activity centres, examples out in the east like Glen Waverley are places where we're already seeing urban development happening and places where we need to start implementing, and when I say urban development happening, urban intensification happening. Building over the railway lines with hotels and the like out there, building high-rise developments at places like Box Hill and the like are creating the potential and opportunities for smart cities technologies to be trialled in these particular development hotspots. And I hope and I think that in actual fact we're going to see that happening. We're already seeing it happening. And again, in particular in the world of smart mobility, but I think we need to start thinking more holistically, and we can. I'm absolutely sure we can start trialing initiatives like city digital precincts, collaborative living labs, open data, smart waste, smart environment and greener initiatives that are all using smart cities technologies in these centres to both monitor and plan for and better utilise our resources. So the framework that already exists here through Melbourne 2030 and the subsequent strategies is a perfect platform to start trialling and using smart cities technologies.
Yeah, cool. So you talked a little bit about integration. So can you tell us how you think we can better integrate across the different disciplines, government and industries?
Another excellent question. We just need to start talking more. And I think the backbone of smart cities technologies is obviously the networks that we need to put across our cities, like the old telecommunications and hard pipe, gas and water pipes. I mean, this is just the backbone of smart cities is really the infrastructure that it operates on. In order to make that happen, we need to have a more holistic approach. Now, it seems to me that local government, a lot of local governments are trying really hard and coming up with strategy. Well, they're not coming up with a lot of strategies, but they're coming up with projects, individual projects. There might be waste projects. I know Canterbury Bankstown are going to be bidding for some money in the latest round for some waste management projects. But that's not enough. We need to actually think bigger. And where the states previously had the authority and responsibility to deliver infrastructure, I think the states need to start thinking more holistically about this, because at the moment it seems to me that the funding's being driven at the federal level and it's trying to be implemented at the local level. There's not a broader regional and or state initiatives. They're not broader regional or state initiatives that I think need to come into play to make this, to give this thing the critical mass it needs. I imagine cities like have a better handle on it because it's a more, it's a larger geographic area. But if you're looking to, for instance, the city of Port Phillip to develop a smart city strategy that's meaningful, it might not be big enough an area to actually make a meaningful intervention. I don't know.
I definitely think that that smart region approach is really important, and I think it's a really good conversation to start, because it, you know, I mean, this podcast is called the Smart City Podcast, but that's for want of a better word, which is smart community, smart regions. I think the smart city concept is much broader than just the city. It's definitely going out into those regions. And without the integration between those two different areas, you kind of widen the gap further between the regions and the cities. So, yeah, I think it's a really important point you made there.
It is interesting to note that the places that are having the most success, in my view, are the regions. And certainly, for instance, Newcastle, because of its critical mass, because of its relationship with the Hunter region, is a place that has the ability to actually trial things in a meaningful way because of its what I'm calling this critical mass, its ability to deliver across a broader broader geographic area.
Yeah, definitely. So let's bring it back to Melbourne again, but maybe more broadly that kind of Victoria region or state, and talk about how we could become leaders in this smart city technology. What do you think about Melbourne becoming leaders in this?
Oh, I think it's got, you know, all of the right ingredients. It's got a, well, where do you start? It's got a great bedrock in terms of the strategic planning framework. It's already got people who are well versed and well used to having conversations about cities and urban initiatives, for want of a better term. It's got a really vibrant education and technology sector, which I think encourages dialogue between, or could encourage dialogue between, the technology sector and the local and state government sectors. And that's where it really needs to start. It really needs to start around a conversation with different municipalities that have similar objectives, banding together to identify opportunities that can create a critical mass of intervention. And I, you know, this is certainly a city of Melbourne, but a state that understands innovation and implementation. And I think the missing bit is the conversation, because at the moment, not enough people know about all of the other things that are happening around the globe. The city of Amsterdam, for instance, is very active in promoting its smart city credentials, and we could equally be doing the same here.
Yeah, cool. So that leads me to emerging trends, so people that are having conversations about certain things. What do you think the ones are that people aren't talking about at the moment?
Well, I think the critical one is what I talked about before, and that is simply the implementation bit, the geographic area that needs to talk about what it needs and how we can use the technology to influence change. So if the question is what's not being talked about, it's that higher level communication piece. What is being talked about is the networks and the creation of the networks, I think, in terms of the actual infrastructure. But again, it's not being talked about in a way I think that's meaningful. So there are practitioners out there, people who with an interest in this space that are talking about the need for the networks. But I think the next conversation has to be in order to actually drive the delivery of the networks. So what are we going to use this for? You know, so in Newcastle, they're very clear about what is it they're going to use the network for. What are we actually trying to achieve? What are they actually trying to achieve? And what can they achieve? And I think to hark back on the what happened with round one of the Commonwealth funding and what appears to be happening in round two is that organisations, municipalities are focusing on individual interventions like smart waste, like e-governance, but they're not actually thinking about it in the sense of creating a holistic strategy for their place. I think that's the bit we need to do, actually need to go back and do first. Ask, what do we need and how can we use this technology and these networks to actually deliver more holistic solutions for the city, and then focus in on the individual projects?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. No, it makes a whole lot of sense. And I think, yeah, that holistic approach is really important. And it's hard to, I guess, from a federal level, provide funding for that. Well, maybe it's not, but I definitely see that it's definitely project based at the moment, which is a great kickstarter. Like, don't get us wrong.
Don't get me wrong. By the little wins that are happening, we're slowly building. I say we because I feel like I'm part of this. We're slowly building a knowledge base and some momentum around this. But at some point, we need to ask the question, like they did in Newcastle, and like they did in other parts of a few other regional areas in Australia, what is this more holistically for? So don't get me wrong. I think the things that are happening are fantastic, and what I call the seed funding essentially from the feds is great. You know, it's absolutely fantastic. But we need to be, pushing it on even further, because we know that this is helping people. And as you say, Zoe, in particular in the regions, actually, you know, a great tool to promote innovation and inclusiveness and connectedness, education and the like in the regions, which didn't have that before. And we can use this technology to create even better places for people to live.
Definitely, because we all kind of want something different out of a place, and it doesn't mean that everyone wants to live in a city that's smart. They want to live in their region that's smart.
There's huge economic potential for the regions to open up their markets to the world, for instance, using this technology. So there's lots of examples of that, and it is an inclusive thing, and it's something that I think we need to, we need to be having more of a dialogue about.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for talking to me this afternoon. It's been a great chat. I was going to say Sunday afternoon chat, but I think this will come out another day, obviously. But, yeah, it's been really, really great to talk to you, and I'm so glad that I met you in person a couple of weeks ago at the conference at ASCA's Australian Smart Communities Conference.
It was a great event. Really inspiring, and it got me because I've been involved in this more globally in a way, and it actually got me really focused on the Australian context now, and I think it's a really exciting time. So thank you for doing what you're doing. It's really very, very good. So thanks a lot.
No worries. Thanks. Well, I just have one last question, which is how can people connect with
through,
you?
Well, you can email me, davidk@smartplanninganddesign.com, or just look up my website, Smart Planning and Design.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, I'll put all those links and everything in the show notes. And, yeah, I look forward to talking to you again soon.
No worries. Thanks, Zoe. Cheers. Bye-bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.